Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you join us today in this beautiful episode, and I have a wonderful guest to introduce to you guys today. So thank you, Miss April Yi, for coming on to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here as a guest.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And please do us all a favor. Tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and talk with you. My name is April Yi, like you said, and I'm a holistic life coach, and I focus on transformative self-care practices. And this is for anyone who wants to be more connected with themselves and engaged in their lives. And it's something that I definitely was not connected to before. And what actually brought me to what I do now is that I used to work in private equity for over 10 years. And I was based in San Francisco for the first 7 years, and then based in New York City for the last 3 years. And what happened was that in New York City, the work culture is a little bit different. It's pretty intense. And I definitely took on a lot of that culture and just kind of overworked myself. I placed responsibility on myself that I didn't know how to delegate or like advocate for myself. Mm-hmm. And during my last year in New York, I had a back injury that turned into something that really affected my health overall. And I'm pretty sure it was because I was chronically stressed out by work. And so my body just didn't have time to heal. And I also didn't allow myself time to heal because I was like, oh, I need to go into work every day. Back then, FaceTime was really important, being in the office. We weren't really allowed to work from home. That was kind of frowned upon at that time. And so I would just go into the office, and even when my back was injured, even when I wasn't feeling well. So I really just didn't allow myself time to rest. And I decided at the end of that third year in New York that what I really needed to do was to quit my job, because I wanted to give myself that time to heal and rest. And while working there, I wasn't able to. And so when I did quit, I felt like I was standing up for myself in a way. And then after that, I had to have emergency open heart surgery. And I think it was also because of chronic stress that I hadn't released yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you want to talk about this now or if we want to go into it later. So it's somewhat of a story that definitely led me to where I am. But I can go into that later if that's more appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many pieces
to this component to begin with, you know. So I definitely wanted to jump into that. I also want to talk about what it is that you do in your business, but I would love for people honestly to hear a little bit about that, because, you know, I recently, and I don't know if we got a chance to talk about this beforehand, but I've had two different medical intuitives that have been on my podcast, and we got to talking about it on the podcast about how people don't understand how emotions and stress will end up showing up in the body physically down the road. You know, I share the story of having heart issues. I did not have to have heart surgery, but I did have heart issues from not dealing with, you know, 10 years of stress from an abusive situation. So I think that this is such an important topic to dive into, because people do not understand that a lot of the chronic dis-ease that we are living with really does come from the things that we have put our bodies through that we have never allowed them to deal with. So yes, definitely. Let's go ahead and dive into that. And then, you know, we'll kind of circle back and really share with people about how that's made such an impact on what it is now that you do for people and how you help transform lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, and I definitely agree with the emotional component. And I think that in my third year working in New York, the reason why I had that back injury was because at the time, I was going through like a relationship betrayal, and I had so many emotions about that. And I just, even at that time, I was like, I feel like all my mental and energetic resources were going to dealing with this relationship betrayal. And I wasn't able to allocate resources to other parts of my body. So like healing myself or just taking myself care of myself in a way that I needed to, I was mostly like focusing on the emotions and not knowing how to process them instead of really like understanding or processing them. I think I was resisting them in a way. And so they just got stronger and stronger, and it felt overwhelming. So I think that also contributed to why my body wasn't healing. And I can relate to that. So after I quit my job, I was like, okay, I'm just going to take some time off to rest and recover. And maybe about 2 months after I quit my job, the back injury that I had before came back. And then for a month, I was like in bed, in pain. I still didn't really know how to take care of myself at that time. And I happened to be flying back to San Francisco, where my family is, where I'm from. And I thought I was going to be there just for 2 weeks for like vacation. And I ended up staying for a month longer because I got admitted to the hospital. First, I got sent to the ER, and then they found bacteria in my blood. And they said, okay, well, you need to come in right away because we'll need to give you IV antibiotics. And then there might be something going on with your heart. And so when I got admitted to the ER, they told me that I had a blood infection and that the bacteria that was circulating in my blood seemed to have latched onto my heart. And then the bacteria ate up two of my heart valves. So my heart was basically failing at that time. And so I had to be admitted to the hospital. I had emergency open heart surgery. So I think within a week of getting admitted to the hospital, I had that surgery. They needed to do some tests and procedures to figure out what was going on exactly and how to treat it. So it was really like jarring to me. And just to mentally prepare within like a week of getting admitted to the hospital to have this like really major surgery. And I didn't even emotionally, I was just like, okay, like this is what's going on. I just need to get through it. So I wasn't really thinking about it intellectually. I was just like allowing the doctors to tell me what needed to be done. And the surgery was 11 hours long. And
oh my gosh.
My surgeon was able to do what he needed to do to clean out the bacteria that was affecting my heart and also to replace the two heart valves. It was the mitral valve and the aortic valve. So I was in the hospital for a month recovering after that. And while I was in the hospital, two of my friends were like, well, you're not going back to New York anytime soon, so let's not have you pay rent. And they flew to New York. They like sold all my big stuff. They packed everything else up with the help of some of my other friends in New York. And they basically moved me out of my apartment without me having to do anything.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was just like so grateful for that. So after being discharged from the hospital, I just recovered at my parents' house for a few months. And luckily, I was in a place to not have to work at that time. And the acupuncturist I was seeing, I had been seeing him for maybe 8 years before that. He was like, you know, if you can, don't work for the next 2 years because your body needs to really heal and recover. And if you work again, you're going to just put some stress on your body that won't really allow it to heal and recover the way it needs to. And he was like, you know, you're being given a second chance. And I think you want to do this differently this time.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, that is so true. Because I would have just, I did go into my usual pattern of like, oh, I need to be productive. I need to be contributing. I need to be working. And I tried to like look for a job, I think maybe 6 months after the surgery. And I think, you know, I didn't get that job. And luckily I didn't, because I just wasn't listening to myself again. And I was just like kind of going on these automatic conditioned ways of thinking that I was used to in the past. Yeah.
That is.
And I really didn't know how to like interact with my life. Like at that time, because I was like, oh, I'm a person. I didn't recognize how identified I was with the work that I did, the role that I had. And I was like, oh, I'm a person that used to be able to work 12 to 14 hour days. Now I physically can't do that. So who am I? And I just felt so lost. And I was like, I think I need to talk to someone, because I'm recognizing that I'm not able to like figure this out on my own. And so then I did actually find a therapist kind of serendipitously, and began seeing her. And we did a lot of work together that helped me see some of the things that I wasn't aware of in myself. And she was actually the one that encouraged me to consider doing something different for work. And that led me into becoming a life coach.
Like, it's such a huge, like, full circle moment if you really think about it. And like, how crazy is it timing wise that you decided to go visit family? And then while you were visiting family, so you were in a safe space, all of these things started happening, right? Like, it's to me, the body is so fascinating with the way that it does its best to like hold on to whatever it is that it knows we need to deal with. And it kind of like waits while still showing signs, like trying to poke you. Like it's still trying to let you know, but it holds on to like the last possible moment before it's like, okay, you need to deal with this. Or, okay, we see that you're in a safe space, so here you go. Right. Like it's been an interesting journey. You know, yours to me is like mind-blowing to see how that whole scenario played out. And then I think about all the other beautiful people that I've talked with on this podcast. And I think about my journey and where it's kind of led me, and how once I got into this relationship with my husband now, like how many things from my past have like hit me back to back to back. And I'm like, can we please just stop? I don't want to heal anymore. I just want to break. But the, you know, like your body, it's like, okay, but we're safe. Like we know that we can, like now is time kind of a thing. And I, so many people don't realize that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, you know, for anybody out there, I'm not saying that doctors are not needed. I'm not saying that any, and at the same time, you need to be very aware of your own body and how your body responds to things, and not immediately shove it off as like, oh, you know, I've been sitting for too long, or, you know, I was doing this and, oh, well, last weekend, I'm pretty sure I did this. So it's probably that from 3 weeks ago, you know, like it's so easy for us to sweep it under the rug. And then when it gets to the point to where it's bothering us, we go to someone who, unfortunately, right, our doctors go by a book. And so they're like, okay, this is probably what it is. Well, we can run tests and this is probably what it is. When in reality, a lot of the things that we go through, a lot of the things that we experience do have to do with the stress and the situations that we've continually pushed ourselves through. Like you said, you know, you were someone that knew you could work 12 and 14 hours a day. So especially for us that are like workaholics and perfectionists and things like that, we push ourselves to the breaking point. And then when our body finally goes, I can't, we're like, oh, well, it's probably because of something else.
Yeah, it's like we don't know how to listen to our bodies. And I think that is like in our culture, in our society, it really, we're really actually told to not listen to our bodies and to disregard them. Like, oh, just push through this, like push through the pain, push through the exhaustion. Like, you don't need to rest, just finish this project and then you can rest. But usually it's like once we finish something, we're on to the next thing right away.
Yes. Yeah. It's that next dopamine hit. It's that next accomplishment. It's that next accolade of what can I be proud of, or what can other people say that they're proud of me for, kind of a thing. When in reality, what we should be focusing on so much more is being proud of ourselves for resting, being proud of ourselves for clearing our schedules when we know we're having a hard time. I know that for me, for example, just, last week, I had so many different things that were hitting me from like so many different angles that I was exhausted by like 7 o'clock at night. And so there were two nights in a row, I was like, that's it. I'm going to bed. And my husband's like, it's 8 o'clock. And I'm like, yeah. And my body is telling me we're done. So everybody's taken care of. Everyone is handled. I'm going to bed. And that's what I did. I didn't finish anything that I should have, right, in quotation marks, that evening. I didn't stay up to spend time speaking with my kids or spend time with my husband. I put myself first. And that to me was something I would have never done in the past. Never. You know, I would have stayed up, I'd have been exhausted, I'd be like, it's okay, I'm fine, I can still sit with you, right? And it was like, yeah, no, I'm not. My body is like, we're done. And so I'm going to listen to it. And I'm gonna go rest. And it was such an improvement when I think about it now to like the way that I used to be, like you said, that forcing yourself to continue to push through. And you know, for a lot of us, it's putting ourselves on the back burner. I think that we live in a society where we're taught to please everybody else and put those boundaries down because we want everybody else to like us. Yes. And then we wonder why we get in this struggle bus where we're in this cycle of like nothing is working, or we don't have time for ourselves, or we're completely broke down, or like you get sick out of nowhere, right? I know I've had this one happen to me like in the past where like all of a sudden I'm like, I was fine. Like what is going on? And I had like the worst sinus infection. I'm like literally taken down, and I giggle now to myself and I tell people, I'm like, that is your body saying, okay, you're not listening. So guess what? I'm going to do it for you. And just sweeps your feet out from underneath you, and you're bedridden for 2 days. And you're like, what just happened? Well, you're welcome. That was your body saying, we're done.
Yep. I can so relate to that. And, you know, just going back to what you were saying about how we want to please other people and do all these other things to like, almost like prove ourselves, like prove that we're worthy of someone else's approval. Yeah. And a lot of that, and a lot of my clients also go through this. It's like, they don't recognize that they're wanting external validation and approval, and they're doing all these things to try to get that and exhausting themselves. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important things that I've learned is that like my worthiness, my value, my own approval of myself is more important than anything I could do to like prove that. So what I learned from my coaching school is that, you know, we're already 100% worthy if we choose to believe that. Like that thought, that belief is available to all of us. Some people, when they first hear that, they'll be like, no, I can't believe that. Like I've always been taught to prove that I'm worthy. I need to do things to show that I'm worthy, to build up that self-worth. But if we're like, okay, I'm just going to decide to believe that I am 100% worthy right now, then what's left to like prove? And so then we can go into the world like being who we want to be instead of trying to prove that we are this person that we might not even really like. So yes. That was like one of the most important, I think, revelations to me is like, I don't need to do all these things that I was exhausting myself with in order to prove myself that I'm worthy to myself and or to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're so right. Especially, I feel like now, and especially with social media and everything like that, like there's so many things constantly being shoved in our face mm-hmm. that like, this is where you should be. This is what you should look like. This is how you should act. This is how you should dress. Like there's so many things that I feel like we as a society are losing identity, which is the whole point of being human, is enjoying the differences. And instead we have created this box that we put everybody in where we want everyone to be similar. Well, yeah, but you should do this and you should like this and you should do. And it's like, but that's no fun. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's the same, right? Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's acting the same. And there's no reason to learn about other people. There's no reason to discover different things. There's no reason to try something new, right? And if you think about it over all of the years of, you know, like inventions and things like that, it wasn't because people did the same thing. It was because they chose to take a completely different path that made no sense to anybody else and chose to test it out and try it out and discover it. And if it wasn't for people like that, we wouldn't be where we are today as a society. And I think that that is not talked about enough for us to remember that part, because we are so in tune with, do you like me? Do you see me? Right? Like, where am I at? How many people are following me? And we've created almost like an anxiety induced society because mm-hmm. of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just curious, like if you've seen, and I know a lot of people, maybe, and it's only the people that I listen to, they do talk about, okay, we need to seek our own approval instead of trying to seek approval externally from others. And mm-hmm. It sounds like from what you've been seeing, people are still thinking that they need to seek approval from other people instead of like recognizing that our own self-approval is like more important than someone else's approval, because someone else like can change their mind about us. We have no control over that. And then if they take away their approval, then what we usually do is we're like, okay, well, if they took away their approval, then I need to take away my approval from myself. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a double whammy. It's like someone takes away their approval from me, I take away my approval from myself. So then where am I getting approval? It's like, then I think I need to go to someone else to get the approval. Whereas if I have my own self-approval all the time, then I'm like less inclined to seek it from somewhere else externally.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it really depends on the people that I'm around and where they are at in their journey, right? Like for a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people in the coaching space, the consulting space, like we have pushed ourselves to learn the differences, to discover things, to ask questions that most people don't think to ask, right? And I think that in itself is so powerful, because I think about the relationships and the friendships that I had prior to me really starting to grow and heal and learn my own independence and valuing that. And I think about the people that I was around then versus who I connect with and who I'm around now. And, it, you know, we don't think about it. And I know that people hear this, and I know that a lot of people roll their eyes, but you really are like the top five people that you hang around. Like you really are. And when you start to put value on that, that I think is the biggest piece of growth, but also the greatest piece of validation that anyone can seek, because you can be you. You can say what you want. You can ask questions, and those people that you are around do the same thing. And then you're just like, oh, all right, well, this is normal, right? And so it just becomes a part of who you are. And that in itself makes the transition so much easier. And I know, you know, personally and from other clients that I've talked with as well, the changes that they've had to make with the people that they're around first, and sometimes that includes family, and putting those boundaries up, because that is one of the reasons why we get stuck in that validation from others, because we've been around them for so long. We've held on to that person or those people for so long, but they said this, but they liked me because of this. And it's learning to accept you and know that not pretending actually saves your energy and allows you to have more energy to be around people that accept you for you. And while, yes, it can be a lonely journey when you're making that transition, and I think that's the scariest part for people, I have seen the difference in people that have gone down that path, you know, that have chosen themselves first, and then you get the validation that you need. And then at that time, if somebody disagrees, it's just funny. It's not something that hurts, right? It's easy to be like, well, I don't, that's okay. That's fine. Like, that's your opinion, right? Like, it's so much easier, but it is extremely hard to get in that mindset and to change the way that you think about things if you are constantly in an environment where people are expecting certain things of you that you know are not you. If you are around people that don't understand when you do something slightly different or out of character, you know? So I think it's that judgment piece that really gets people stuck as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, it's so important. And I think I just read something in one of Brené Brown's books about like belonging versus fitting in. And so like fitting in is like, you're trying to change yourself to be what you need to be in order to fit in. And then belonging is that you can be who you are and feel accepted and belong. So there's a difference of like, I think fitting in is like people pleasing. Belonging is getting being able to be authentically you and feeling that you can be accepted for that.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that 100%. And I love Brené Brown. Just, I love it. And it's so funny because I was talking to someone the other day and I was telling them about Dare to Lead. And I was like, I know that it's like more for the corporate. I'm like, but everything she says can be attached to anything in your life when it comes to understanding shame and guilt and how to deal with things and how to be vulnerable. I'm like, you can apply it anywhere. So anyway, if you've not heard of Brené Brown, you should go find her right now and look her up. But now, April, I did want to touch base on, you know, your life coaching and what it is that you're doing, because I feel like there are so many people that call themselves a life coach, yet each person that I have met does something a little bit different in that aspect. And so I would love for you to elaborate on what it is that you define life coaching as and what that means for you and how you help people.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. So I'm a holistic life coach, and I got a certification through this small little school in San Francisco in 2019. And then I started listening to the Life Coach School podcast led by Brooke Castillo. And I think that was around the end of 2019. And I was like fascinated by the model that she shares. It's a coaching tool. It's a self-awareness tool. And I was like, oh, I really would love to use that with my clients. And I think in order to be able to like use it with your clients, you need to go through that certification. So I also went through the Life Coach School's certification in 2021. And I've been coaching with all the tools that I learned through the Holistic Life Coaching Program and then the Life Coach School's certification. And the way that I coach is related to our relationship to ourselves. So I talk about transformative self-care. And I know the term self-care has been kind of thrown about a little recklessly in recent years. Like, it can range from anything from like taking a bubble bath, getting a massage, being in nature, or even drinking a frothy sugar-filled drink. Like, I've heard that self-care used in that way. And so, and all of those things can definitely be self-care, except maybe if you're trying to cut down on sugar, you probably would want to pass on the sugary drink, right? And that wouldn't be self-care in that situation. But I think that for transformative self-care, it's like how we care about ourselves, like by how we think about ourselves, how we speak about and to ourselves, and how we treat ourselves. And all of that adds up to our relationship with ourselves, like how we relate to ourselves. And I think that so many of us kind of like disregard ourselves if we don't know, if we're not aware, we disregard ourselves. Again, this is like, we think other people's opinions, other people's views about us are more important. So we search outside of ourselves to like, I guess, feel a certain way. But we can feel what we want about ourselves when our relationship with ourselves has a strong foundation. And also, I think like, it's really easy to sabotage ourselves when we don't have that relationship with ourselves. Like, let's say we do want to take care of ourselves in a certain way. We plan to go for a 45-minute walk, but instead we get sucked into social media and like scroll for those 45 minutes. And it's like, then afterwards we're like, oh my God, like I'm so disappointed in myself. I did this other thing when I had planned to do this one thing, or I feel like discouraged around my goals of feeling better in my body or taking care of myself. And it's because we blow ourselves off first. Like if we were going to take a walk with a friend, we probably wouldn't have scrolled on social media for that 45 minutes and blew off our friend. We would have been like, okay, let's go take that walk. But if it's just ourselves, it's like, it's okay to be flaky with ourselves. And we've been kind of patterned or conditioned to do that because it's like, well, if I'm not going to do what I say I'm going to do, then I'm just not going to make that plan. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've been used to disappointing ourselves. So how can we build up that trust with ourselves again, or start to build up that trust? And it's by saying that we'll do something and doing it. Even if it's something small, like, okay, at 2 o'clock, I'm going to walk around my house for 5 minutes if you work from home. Or if it's like, if you work in an office, you can say, okay, at 2 o'clock, I'm going to get up from my desk, walk around the office for 5 minutes. And at 2 o'clock, like that rolls around and you do it. And that starts building up the trust with yourself. So just even those small things can really add to that, because you can celebrate instead of feel disappointed. Like, oh, at 2 p.m. I said I was going to walk around for 5 minutes. I didn't do that. I feel disappointed. Why do I make any goals for myself anyway? You know, and that can start breaking down our commitments to ourselves. So I think that what I teach and coach people on in my program, I have an 8-week program, is to start building that trust with themselves and to start building up their relationship with themselves. And then I do focus on the 3 pillars of how we think about ourselves, which affects how we speak about and to ourselves. And then it affects how we treat ourselves.
And I love that you talk about being flaky to ourselves. Like, that one stood out to me. I was like, oh my gosh, Like, if you really think about that, how many times have we gone overboard because we told a friend that we would do something even when we don't feel good, but mm-hmm. when it comes to ourselves, we're like, it's fine. I'll deal with it later. I'll figure it out later. And I love the perception that you have on self-help as well, because mm-hmm. you're right. I feel like that word gets thrown around so much, and then you get all these people that are like, well, but I, like you said, took a bubble bath, or I went and got me a special drink. And it's, yes, like you said, that can be used if that's like something you want to reward yourself for, because you already had something planned. And so the end result was, if I do this, this is what I'm going to give myself. But it can also be used as a cop-out as well. Right? Mm-hmm. Where people just do it. And they're like, I did see self-care, but you're sitting at the desk and you're still banging things out and you're not actually taking the time. Then you didn't even enjoy the drink that you got to begin with. It's gone before you even realize that it's gone. And there was no self-care that was actually really involved in that at all. The whole point, in my opinion, of self-care is being in that moment, being present with what it is that you did. Is this a reward for yourself? And if it is, what are you congratulating yourself for? What kind of gratitude, positivity, validation can you continue to give yourself while you are, say, for instance, enjoying that drink? Like, I'm so proud of myself from this week. I worked so hard. I got this done. I didn't think I was going to. I checked all my stuff off my boxes. That to me is self-care. It's being in that present moment. It's enjoying the moment that you are in, not saying that that's what you did just to do it, and then you go on about your way.
Yeah. And it comes back to like, okay, what do I get to think about myself now? Like, if I did all these things, like, does that change the way I think about me? Or do I just do it sort of like on autopilot and not think about the impact that it has on how I think about myself? Because mm-hmm. if we drink a drink, let's say a sugary, frothy drink, and we actually feel guilty about that, instead, like, even if it's, we say it's a reward, but we do feel some guilt, then it's like, that's not going to contribute to how we think about ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know, even if we finish a project and we just go on to the next thing without celebrating that we finished that project mm-hmm. and showing gratitude or appreciation to ourselves for getting it done, then it's like, then we're just like on to the next thing without, you know, appreciating ourselves. And I think that when we can start to celebrate and appreciate and acknowledge ourselves, that is part of building our relationship with ourselves. And just going back to like being flaky, it's like, what if someone was flaky like that with you? You'd be like, well, I don't want to hang out with that person. Like, they don't really, it seems like they don't really respect me. They don't respect mm-hmm. my time. And so when we're flaky with ourselves, we can start to do that with ourselves too. It's like, well, do I respect me? Do I respect my time? And I can choose to want to respect myself and respect my time on purpose. Yeah. And that is part of building up our relationship with ourselves too.
Yeah. Oh, and that's such a beautiful note. And especially, you know, as we're into the new year of 2024 and like really starting off on the right foot and remembering that it's okay to put ourselves first. It's okay to really enjoy and think about and be present with the self-care or the rewards that you give yourself. Like you said, instead of that autopilot, it's like, oh, okay, I did this, on to the next thing. You know, like it's beautiful. So I'm so glad that, you know, this is what we're coming to a close with as we, you know, close up the conversation. And before we go, I always ask all of my guests if you happen to have a quote or a piece of advice that you'd like to leave the audience with. So do you have something?
Well, I literally just read in, the Brené Brown book that I mentioned is The Gifts of Imperfection. And I think I read it before, and so I'm reading it again. I actually lead a book club called The Grow Within Book Club, and we read kind of like self-help books. And so this is one of them. The first one we read was Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach, and that was really powerful. So I think there is a quote that Brené Brown said. Let's see if I can find it.
Oh, anything from Brené Brown. They've really fallen in love with her stuff.
Yeah, I know. And this one really resonated with me because it's been something that I've been working on. And it's like, it's almost like, oh, I thought I did all this work on feeling good enough, on feeling worthy. And then something pops up for me again to be like, oh, I guess that was just a layer that I peeled off and I'm working on it even more. And I was talking to someone who's like in their 70s and telling her that. And she's like, I'm in my 70s and I still work on being good enough. So
that
it's like,
is
okay,
so awesome.
we're never done with it. And that's okay. So the quote is, here's what is true at the heart of wholeheartedness. Worthy now, not if, not when. We are worthy of love and belonging now, right this minute, as is. So I love that. And I'm practicing that. And I would love it if like everyone could know that and believe that.
Yeah.
I think it would change so much.
That is such a beautiful quote. Oh yeah. I like that one. That might be going up on the wall. So April, please do us a favor and tell everyone, you know, how can they find you? How can they connect with you? How can they be in your world?
Yeah, thank you. So my website is thehealingmodalities.com. I am on Instagram a little bit. I recently started doing some reels, and that's at The Healing Modalities on Instagram. And I'm on LinkedIn. I actually spend some time posting on LinkedIn. And I can share that link with you if you want to put it in the show notes. But you can also search April Yee Holistic Life Coach on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And of course, we'll make sure we have all that information in the show notes for you guys, as well as her beautiful quote from Brené Brown. So be sure for you guys to check that out. So it'll be super easy to find April. And April, thank you so much again for being a guest on the podcast. It was such a wonderful conversation to have with you. So I can't thank you enough for this one.
Yeah, I thank you so much for inviting me to participate. It's so great to talk with you and share these ideas.
Oh, yes. And it's so needed in this world. Like I feel this so much. So thank you again for sharing all of your beautiful insight. And to everybody else that's out there, I hope that you got some wonderful takeaways. You should have been taking notes on this one. Self-care is definitely something that should be at the top of your priority list. We do forget to put ourselves in that first space so many times, and it can make such a difference in your energy and your ability to be able to come at situations, whether it's now or down the road. So anyway, I hope you guys got some awesome takeaways, and don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.